in 164,235. So that's the only element that's left, because then they deleted lines 22 through 24. And that would be your second degree burglary under the House amendments.
Why did they decide to take out the distinction between being in, take out the dwelling?
I don't have the answer to that question.
Do you know, Marcy?
That was one of the elements that has caused a problem, and they felt that that was adequately the danger to the victim is.
Well, it's not the same level.
It's not the same level as if there was somebody in it or not.
I suppose if they just have their tools to break in.
Well, but the trouble with this is that just the tool business, we've lost the business that we were trying to do in the interim committee, counsel.
Well, I should mention one other thing. If you look at Section 1, it takes what is now Burglary 2 and reduces that crime to Burglary 3. So that's the other significant change in the bill.
They're going to call it third-degree burglary, but it's still going to be a Class C felony.
Correct. Yes, all they're doing is making a Burg 2 and calling it a Class B.
Well, that's to allow that new Class
Correct.
B, or the new second degree, right?
The new second degree, which basically what they're trying to get at is to be able to match what actually happens to language that was in the burglary statutes, where they're looking at trying to get at the non-residential burglaries, as opposed to the residential burglaries, which are already adequately covered under first degree burglary. And that's the distinction that they're trying to make.
Non-residential burglaries are less.
No, they're more.
More than.
Okay. Residentials are more.
Are more.
Residentials
yeah,
are more.
That's
because
what
there
I
may be people living.
This is just going to, this burglary two under the House amendments is just going to say that if you're caught running from a building, whether it's a dwelling or not, and you've got a burglary tool, it's going to be a Class B felony.
Well, it was an A before, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. If you look on line 12, you can see that the burglar
so
tool...
it's lessening it, really.
It's reducing it one.
Yeah, but it isn't... I don't see how it's having any of the impact that we were looking for in the Interim Judiciary Committee to more accurately sort people between those people who had committed a burglary in a setting that was filled with danger of physical injury versus those people who, such as, if you go into an unoccupied home now, if it's a dwelling, whether it's being occupied recently or not, if somebody has died and the house has been sealed and a burglar goes in, there's no danger. There's less danger that somebody's going to get hurt than there is if they go into a dwelling with people sleeping there. But there's no distinction made that's still burglary one. And we were looking for not an interest in necessarily making the penalties harder or softer, but primarily, although it would have that effect too, primarily in sorting out. So when we look into the penitentiary population, we can see which people we really need to reserve hard space for that have done something that could actually bring about an injury to somebody, not just their property. I know the other argument is that if they're menacing your property, they're menacing your person and so on, which is a valid argument too. But this just drops the tool business from an A to a B felony.
I suppose the problem, though, is when you're trying to distinguish whether the dwelling is occupied or unoccupied, it would be harder to draw those distinctions.
Well, but there was a lot of work done on that in that committee to try and find a way to do that. The Corrections Division makes those sortings in there. They've got statistical analysis about the people in where they break down between different categories of burglary one for the sake of the parole board.
Okay, what my notes show is that it was actually the district attorney's amendment dated January 27th, where they were concerned that residences should be, should remain as Class A felonies. And that's why the dwelling was removed.
So that, okay, I'd like to work on this a little more before we send it out. So I'd like to hear from some of the people who worked on that interim committee on this. Are there, let's see, are there any other, I guess that's the only witness that signed up. Are there any other questions for Marcy Hertzmark? Thank you.
Okay. I was wondering if you wanted me to stay for the next one.
You want to testify on 2449?
Yes, I would.
House Bill 2449.
All right, Mr. Chair, member of the committee, it's Marcy Hertzmark with the Metropolitan Public Defenders. It's another bill I get to come in and say we support. The bill will hopefully save some money and also help some of the problems that we've had with security and transferring certain defendants between buildings, particularly in Multnomah County, and particularly with what we're going to be having with the new jail across from the courthouse. We're also hoping that it's going to help with some of the court time in eliminating the cost and also in being able to expedite matters. The bill will allow, if in those areas, in those counties that have the video hookups, to actually conduct their arraignments by videotape. The one amendment that...
So they'd be arraigned right in the jail?
Correct. The one amendment that the public defenders did ask for over in the House side, which has been included in the bill, would provide that any facilities in the jail where the arraignment was being taking place would have facilities for the defendant to consult out of hearing and sight of the video equipment with their attorney. And that was included, and so we are in support of this bill.
I think I can support the bill, but I'm not sure I can support the semantics. They're saying in the House amendments, the defendant appears in person, in quotes, if, and they're going to say that if they're before the court by means of simultaneous television transmission, allowing the court to observe the communication with the defendant to observe and communicate with the court, that's in person. Something that makes me pretty uncomfortable about that. I've always thought of in person, that you're there in the flesh. The original bill described it more about the way it was really. It says appear in person or through simultaneous television transmission in the arraignment. That seems to describe what's going on.
Is there some kind of constitutional requirement you have to be there in person? Or?
No. I don't know.
Maybe that's why they use it.
Who are you, sir?
I'm Bob Cannon, Marion County Legal Counsel. This bill was sponsored at the request of Marion County.
Could you come up, please? You are signed up too. That's right.
Yes, I am.
Do you know what the problem was with the way the bill was originally worded? On
no.
Line 19, appear in person or through simultaneous television transmission at the arraignment.
I do not. We are very anxious to have the bill, and we did not object to the House amendments.
Do you know of any problem with the bill the way it was printed?
No.
Do you know of any, Marcy Hertzmark?
No, I don't.
You mean the original bill?
Yes.
The one thing I know that they wanted to include were lines 6 through 9 in the House amendments. Clear affirmative protection for private consultation between defendant and defense counsel.
Where's 6 through 9? What do you mean?
In the House amendments, House Bill 2449.
I'm looking at the House amendments, and 6 through 9... See, the defendant appears before the court by means of simultaneous transmission, allowing the court to observe communication. However, appearance by sound, unless the facility is used in the equipment. Oh, they wanted to get line 8 and 9 in, you mean?
Yeah.
Appearance by simultaneous television shall not be permitted unless the facility is used, engaged, enable the defendant to consult privately the defense counsel during the proceedings. Well, why don't we just add that somewhere here?
Into the original bill.
Senator Cohen.
I agree with you. I think we ought to go back to line 22 that you determined, you know, put reinsert this submission, the
or through simultaneous television transmission.
Okay, I'm trying to remember. My notes don't show anything. We did talk about that issue, Mr. Chair. Perhaps counsel from the House will be able to go back to that. What I think was the problem in allowing line 19 in the original version to remain as it was that there really is no other place in the statutes where simultaneous television transmission is used in this way, and they wanted to clarify exactly what that meant. And that was what they were trying to do in the amended, in the House amendments dated April 19th in line 6 through 8, was trying to clarify what simultaneous television appearance meant in reference to in person.
It seems like the words are pretty obvious, simultaneous television.
The only thing I see they've added is that they cannot observe and communicate with the court.
Well, the present language in the statutes in 135.030 now says that should be personally present, and that, in just changing it to, say, appear in person or through simultaneous television transmission, we weren't quite sure, and we were having some problems trying to figure out if that might create more problems because what in person really meant.
I guess I'd ask Marcy a question. I don't think you, the chair, or myself are advocating that we change lines 6 through 9 in the House amendments.
Oh.
But that we...
It's lying.
That the question of automatically in person becomes appearing, you know, I think it's a question of semantics and definition, and you're just automatically saying without any, you read only certain parts of this act, that's, you're going to classify that as being there in person. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm certainly not advocating taking away leading lines
16 and 9 is the issue of... Mr. Chair, the issue is on line 19, page 1, in parens, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And to reinstate it?
Mm-hmm. Why is it you said that the public defender likes this bill?
We just think it would be advantageous to both our clients and to the courts, and we're always looking for ways to speed up the process. There's also been some problems with security between jails and courthouses. We feel
where is the public defender going to stand? In front of the TV camera with the defendant or in the court with the judge?
With the defendant.
So you're going to be over in the lockup with the defendant.
Correct.
The TV camera is going to be pointed at you. Judge is going to be sitting in the courtroom with a viewer.
Right. There will also, according to this bill, have to be some area out of view of the video camera where the defendant can consult privately. It can all be in the same room as long as the camera's not on them and the video's not on them. Perhaps Mr. Kane can speak.
Marion.
It was Marion County's bill, and we do support it.
Yes.
It's a good idea.
It's very important to us. We have major penal facilities in this county, and the security problem of transporting people from the Oregon State Penitentiary to the Marion County Courthouse for the sheer purposes of arraignment are costly, and we do have security problems. We envision that there would be a simultaneous video transmission between the penitentiary and the courthouse where the judge could see and hear and communicate simultaneously with the inmate, a representative of the district attorney's office, and the inmate's attorney. So you'd have three people there. It would just be that the inmate would not be transported from the penitentiary to the Marion County Courthouse.
Okay.
I think the bill's got merit. I'd like to see it come out if we get the language.
Might I make a suggestion, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Mr. Cannon.
If you leave line 19 as it was originally drafted in the bill in and do not change the House amendments, I think that would clarify a potential problem raised by Senator Cohen.
Maybe the best thing to do is just to pass it the way the House did and be done with it. I guess the semantic difficulty I have with defining in person to mean over the television, but maybe that's because I've got to be 16 before I got the television set. Maybe we ought to just not tinker with it and get it going.
I'll move it.
Okay, Senate, is that okay with
you? I don't care. I just want to make sure that
I'd just soon not run up any more printing costs while we're at it.
Okay.
Senator Frye now moves House Bill 2449 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Brown?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Frye?
Aye.
Canby?
Aye.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Wire?
Aye. Motion carried.
Thank you very
much. Thank you very much.
I believe that I've
Another
marked off all the House bills now.
Of course, if it's a eye strain.
Yeah, we're not ready to do 2898. Which bill is it? Okay. The only thing we got left is House Bill 2898, and I'm not sure it's really ready to go, so I guess we'll have to carry it. Now, no, I can't do it on the bills here. We've got several bills in committee that are really not going anywhere that we need to table. And also, we've got, it's starting to look like the legislature may get out by the 4th of July, and we do have quite a few bills still in our committee. We've, as you can see from today, we got through our House agenda. If we could have another work session or another hearing or two, we could catch up completely on House bills that that have to do with corrections and juvenile law and that sort of thing. We're almost up with the House on their bills in that area. The area where they have some bills over here that we haven't heard yet is more in the area of the bills that Kathy Bogan is working on, the civil bills. They're still having hearings, as I'm told, on some House bills in the area of their criminal package and their juvenile package, some of their sentencing bills. Mr. Frohmeyer came to see me Friday with a list of bills that he wanted. There were only three Senate bills on that list, as I recall. I don't have it in front of me now, that he was still concerned about. 415, 42, and
150.
Is in a subcommittee with Senators Cohen and Gardner. 151, which he didn't mention, interestingly. But we understand you're making progress, and we'll be getting that soon. 150 is the a RICO bill, which they've gotten the revolving fund out of the Ways and Means. He wants the lien provisions and the immunity provisions.
Because those are very controversial.
And 42 is the bill that the General Services want. We had a hearing on that when Darrell Rawls was still there, and now Jane Houston has let us know that she's still very interested in that. And there's some questions about what effect that might have on their SAFE coverage that we've been working on. SAFE is still coming and waiting for hours to tell us they have concerns with the bill. But those three Senate bills, about half the House bills, he was telling us that he's most concerned about, were ones that are still in the House. I don't want to get off on the subject of my feeling that we've been getting unfairly criticized for not moving fast enough. But I am thinking that one way we could be sure that we don't get caught working very, very hard if something does happen that breaks the logjam on the tax program, which is always, this session is nothing new, it's always the thing that makes the session, sets the deadline in the session. It's possible that something may move. If it does, and I think there is a tremendous united will in this building to get out of here by early in July, we could be suddenly get a lot of bills over here from the House without an awful lot of time to work on it. All that's leading up to saying that I'm seriously considering scheduling a real clear the decks 4 hours on Saturday, and I dread doing that as much as I'm sure you do. I suppose you'll still be at your graduation, won't you, Senator Brown? So this discussion is felicitous to you, but I was here from in the building from 7 until midnight Sunday night, and I was here until in a 5-hour hearing yesterday. At 7, I'm going to go into another hearing and work session in government operations. I'm going to be real tired by a weekend, but I think it's possible that we should schedule a bunch of bills and try and clear off the decks as much
as we can. Could I just ask a question? It doesn't sound like that we've got that many bills left. Or do you mean just that we deal with all the bills that are in the committee? Or
we have a lot of bills left. We have a lot of Senate bills that there's not very much interest in.
Yeah.
And one of the things I'd like to do is to bring down a lot of those bills and have motions to table and see what happens.
I can't see the Saturday session doing that.
But we do also have a number of House bills that are coming over, particularly civil bills that are here already, and it's possible that we may be running up on sine die in 3 weeks. And if suddenly something happens and things start to move, then there will be all of a sudden a big rush to get everything done. Senator Cohen.
Can I ask you? I don't have any problem in you sorting through those and bringing the priority bills.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the committee.
Forward as to the chair's discretion. I think there are bills that you can properly don't have to deal with. And I would leave that to your discretion. I mean, I don't think we're a law, and I would be, you know, whether they, I mean, there's nothing wrong legitimately in leaving a bill either lay there or table it. I think that's your obligation, and it's only if people are, you know, clamoring on major bills that I think you have an obligation, or we have an obligation to pay. Beyond that, you know, if I have a particular bill I want to have heard, that, whether it's a House bill or whatever, you know, I'll come and ask, and I hope the rest of the committee members will too. I just don't think it's, you ought to feel as pressured as apparently we do in terms of having use the staff and sort them out and make some priorities and take care of the big ones and leave the little ones die. But I'm just giving you my support to do that, and I'm not.
I appreciate the supportive nature of your remarks. All session, we've been scheduling each week. We have a scheduling meeting, and we've had notes on every bill that anybody has requested. We start out by looking at the ones the members have requested we schedule, and then we look at other people that are clamoring for bills. And I don't know what kind of feedback you've been getting, but the feedback I've gotten all session is that we've been scheduling bills promptly that people have shown any interest in to speak of. Now, there have been a couple of exceptions. We all know that we had a little discussion in here about how soon we were going to schedule the senior assault bill. But by and large, that's what's been happening all session. And I'm not hearing from the staff, which is the first place you hear it when there are hundreds of phone calls. Now, there's been some turbulence about the marijuana bills, but after we had that hearing and spent the evening here, that quieted down by and large. Right now, I don't think there's a Senate bill there that somebody's clamoring about that we're not scheduling. I think Senator Brown has mentioned the last few days that he might want to see us do something about the bill about displaying your license if you're stopped.
That goes back to old law.
How many House bills do you have now, Kathy, that we haven't had a hearing on yet? Do you know that figure within 10, plus or minus?
30. There are probably 30 that aren't even scheduled yet. and there may be 15 or so that are skipping. I have an awful lot of households.
We just heard 2, 4, 6, 7. So 7 into 30 goes.
No, but she's talking.
I'm talking about how many hearings it would take to do that many bills.
You're not going to want to hear. I mean, I don't.
4 sevens or 28. Four hearings. How do you know offhand how many you have?
I probably have about 15.
Any reason to have a hearing on every single bill?
I don't either.
One of the things that I think has caused last week, I don't know if you all noticed it as much as I'm sure you didn't know as much as I did, but there were two editorials last week saying that we were sitting on a lot of bills in this committee. And I think one of the reasons for that, and I think there's several, one of them is that we passed an ethics bill. Immediately after that ethics bill was passed, within a day, a reporter came and asked me if we had a lot of bills backed up here, which convinces me that somebody went out and did a public relations job, that all we'd done all session was work on the ethics bill, and therefore we were all behind. But another thing that I think caused it was the last session, in the waning days, Senator, some of us decided we didn't want to pass some of the sentencing bills that came out of the House. And all session long, my friend, my representative from House District 12, who's on the Senate, House Judiciary Committee, says that hardly a week goes by before there's some remarks in the House about, oh, we'll send this over to the Senate and it'll just die.
Well, so that's our prerogative.
That's our prerogative, but we don't have quite as good access to the press, apparently, as the House does. And I guess I am getting a little sensitive about this. We work awfully hard, and we're doing good work out of this place. Bob Olson was saying that observing both committees, he thinks if we should be faulted, we should, in comparison, now everything's relative, for being overly conscientious and wanting to follow through what the bills mean and look at the amending things and that sort of thing. Now, I'm no observer of their committee, so I can't make comparative comments.
Jan, but what happened last time? After the last session, you know, the kudos went Tom, not to you. In fact,
well, that's fine. That's past history.
That's
but
the politics of their editorial page.
But you guys are all working too hard for us to get hung out for not thoroughly, after we've gone all this way and done all this work, get hung out for not having thoroughly considered everything. And that's why it occurs to me that if we had a Saturday meeting, we might end up tabling 50 bills, but we might also kick out 10. And that might give us the head start we need into running into the last month of the session, or the last 3 weeks.
Well, I don't think, Mr. Chairman, if I may say so, we need to add to our misery if we really haven't gone through misery by working on Saturdays in this committee. So I'm not very inclined to do that.
I don't think we should be shaped by some editorial page, because I feel differently. I never pay much attention to them.
Joe. What about Thursday? What time are we going to be able to adjourn?
In reference to what?
In reference to the signing dying party Thursday. So since we're not going to be sitting there at 6:30, are we?
I assumed we were not going to go. I was prepared to work all evening.
Oh, my God. It's magnificent to me. I'll have to work.
All right. Hamby and Cohen, a subcommittee.
I was going to go.
Stay here until 8 o'clock.
I don't intend to go because I can't afford to pay for it. But I didn't realize it was Thursday night. Answer your question. I planned on working till 7 o'clock.
What time does that thing start? 6?
6, yeah.
It starts at 6?
They miss one call.
What have we got? That's the night we have all these court bills, which is the thing that the House is most concerned about, is that we pass their court package. Let's see, there are 2, 4, 6
hours.
Maybe we can get done by 6. If we move the way we did tonight, we can. You can be here. You can be here, Senator Hamby. Can you be here, Senator? Because Senator Brown can't be.
I will be there. I was planning on going to the signy dive.
If we work fast, maybe we can get done by 6 and get out of here, huh?
I don't think it starts at 6:30 anyway.
Jen, I would support it.
We miss one cocktail
sometime. You know, I can.
Well, it's going to have to be a Saturday.
How about the following Saturday?
You'd rather put it off one. You won't be here this one anyway.
No, how about that?
Well, let's go another week and see how we're doing. And I sure agree, I don't want to meet on Saturday. Is the following Saturday that meeting up at Sun River, though? Trial lawyers meeting? I was planning on trying to go to that.
That may be that, yeah.
What about Friday night?
Oh, my God.
I don't know. The whole concept of having to sit there and just table bills just doesn't seem to be a good productive time.
All right. I don't want to do that. But on the other hand, the House last session, they send a lot of bills late. They really do. We haven't seen, for example, their whole sentencing package. I guess you might say this bill we heard tonight about the burglary was one of the first. But I'm told they have a humongous number of bills over there.
Well, they're going to put it into one bill. They're folding into one humongous bill about 20 different things.
Okay. Well, let's not take any more time on this now. We'll work some more on it and see where we are in a few days.
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
May I ask the committee's consideration for just 2 minutes to hear Jerry Cooper on 2550 that we tabled earlier today?
Is he out in the hall?
He's talked to us.